I see a couple of hands. So 5 o'clock, meet here at the church to go out to Salem Acres. I know that's going to be a powerful, powerful weekend for many men. I've been to several of them before, and it's amazing. So I know some of you are already planning on going. If finances are an issue for you, see Alvin. There's been a few people that have donated some extra funds to help those who can't afford to go or can only afford part of it. So don't let that be a hindrance, and definitely take that in. Also, any food allergies, make sure to let Alvin know for those of you that are going. So what's that, Doug? The cost is $120, yeah, for the weekend. So it's leaving Friday night, 5 o'clock, coming back Sunday around mid-afternoon, 2 o'clock, something like that. We're going to have a fun day here today. I know there's a couple of people that have spontaneously come forward wanting to be water baptized. And so that's always such a treat and exciting. I'm going to let Pastor Stan talk more about that when he gets up here. He's bringing the word today. I'm excited about that. And where did Mr. Ebenall go? Ah, can you share a little bit about? Okay.
December 2 and 3. Saturday, Sunday, there's a team coming from Medicine Hat. I always say Global House of Prayer, but I might be skewed a bit on there, the name. That doesn't matter. There's a team coming from Medicine Hat. They're going to hang out with us here Saturday, December 2, and then Sunday, December 3. And there's going to be a time of teaching for us on evangelism and the Holy Spirit, and then the message on Sunday, the topic still is yet to be decided, but that doesn't matter. It's going to be great. Plan on joining us Saturday afternoon, December 2, for great teaching. Hey? 2 o'clock would be a good time.
If you ever need a good laugh, just hang out with this man for a while, I tell you.
Oh, yeah. And one more thing. So there's a team of at least 8, maybe 10 people coming, and we need a couple more places for them to stay at. So I'm going to come and tell me about if you can house 1 or 2 individuals. That'd be great, because we still need whatever the number is, about 4 more beds for them. So, thanks.
My wife and I have come across some really, really funny, incredibly talented men of God lately. And I was going to play a little clip, but I think time is of the essence. So, it's on our Facebook page. So, is there anyone here that is not on our Facebook page? If not, Doug, you're not on any page. God's page. You're on God's page, and that's all that matters. I know many of you are on there. There's about 70 people that follow the page. So I posted a little clip on there, and it's from a marriage conference. And whether you're single or married, definitely check that out. But at the 16-minute mark, he does a little clip about the difference between men and women. And yeah, you won't regret checking that out. So it makes me laugh just thinking of it. The thing that kept coming to me, knowing that I was going to share a little bit this morning, was what is God doing? What is God doing in our lives? What is he doing in our corporate life here at our church? And I was taken back to a sermon I heard many years ago, and the guy was talking about what he's doing in his life. And the verse is from Hebrews, if you want to look it up, is Hebrews 7:16. And it's talking about Jesus, but it's talking about the power of an indestructible life. And that keeps coming to me, that I think that what the Lord is really trying to do is get us to a place where the winds could blow and, you know, the no matter what could happen, we are indestructible. You know, he's obviously, because of what he's done at the cross, he's made us eternal by having faith in him. But he's getting us to a place where we can just do his will, and we're indestructible. The temptations of the world and addictions will have no more effect on us. And it's a really powerful, just powerful concept and verse to think on. And so the thought was on following Jesus. And I'm going to open it up just really quickly because we don't have a lot of time for testimonies, but just maybe ask the Lord if you have a quick little testimony, and we'll bring the mics around. But following Jesus, how are you loving Jesus in your day-to-day and following him? So for my wife and I, in the morning, we get up and we spend time on our faces and we worship the Lord and we just spend time in prayer. And then we turn on our Bible audio and they have a little devotional. It's through the Bible in a year. And so we listen to the word and we saturate ourselves. And it's just one of the ways that we kind of prepare for the day. And then we just ask the Lord to use us. And so it's a quick testimony, this past little clip, past couple of weeks. We bought a vehicle, and we thought it was the perfect vehicle that we were looking for. And we prayed about it, of course, as we do everything through prayer and ask the Lord, okay, is this what we should do? And we felt a green light, yes, get this car. And so we got it, and no sooner had we picked it up, and we started having some problems with it. And turned out that the motor was blown. And so it really caused us to go, Lord, are we blowing it? Did we miss it? You know, we always kind of internalize. And so okay, thanks, Jay. So we took it back to the shop, and we're in negotiations with that guy. But we were really being hard on ourselves until we met with our marriage counselor on Friday. And so the point of bringing this up is the importance of good, godly counsel in your life regularly. And he brought a perspective that was straight out of heaven. He said, how do you think God sees this particular person, the automotive dealer, who's done this before? He's got a bunch of bad stories on the internet. And he said, you know, you guys pray and you ask the Lord to use you. Have you ever thought that he's actually using you to bring some correction and some possible judgment to this particular individual? Anyway, since then, our stress has just gone. Because we're like, oh, okay, the Lord's in this. He's at work. And so, yeah. So loving the Lord every day. Who has a short, quick testimonial of just what loving Jesus means to you every day?
Short. Tell you, I'm defeated before I start. No, all I'm saying is in the morning, I keep going back to Psalm 25, and it blesses me every day. 4:5, it says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. So I have the faith to believe when I say that and I have my devotions that I leave that apartment, I'm in his will because he will show me, he will guide me, he will teach me. So there's no problem, but another little clip that I'll say, and this is fast. Psalm 91 will blow your mind if you read it every morning.
That's good. Psalm 91. Yep. You know, the Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and that they're not grievous, they're actually easy. Sam needs a mic.
So, as some of you know, that I've been battling with some health issues, especially diabetes, and it was causing some major problems where they had to remove my gallbladder, they had to deal with my heart and things like that, my intestines. And one day I just said to the Lord, as it started all coming back, I was like, Lord, if this is my cup, then I accept it. But if it's not mine, show me a better way. Show me how to reverse the diabetes to make my body healthy again. And through the process, it took months and months, but through the process, the Lord took me to a higher fat diet and a low carb, very low carb. So most of my carbs come from vegetables. They took a blood test last week. They took my blood, and last week when I went to the doctors, usually most people will sit at 5.9 about there, and they say, you're not a diabetic. Mine was sitting at 5.9. When they took my 3-month span, it sits at 7. So what God is doing is he's correcting my body. My heart, I've been going to the gym every morning, and I'm able to work out and start losing the weight because the Lord has been healing me through this diet. And I just thank him and praise him because the more I seek him and started looking towards him instead of saying, poor me, I'm so sick all the time. And I dug into the word and looked and started looking for his face. He gave me the answer. And so I just thank the Lord for this. If you want to know more about this, let me know. I have dropped almost 30 pounds in 3 months.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, many of you here in loving the Lord, you spend time down at the kitchen and you volunteer. Some of you go out in the streets and you evangelize. And so all of us have different gifts that we function in the body. And so it's just, we got time for maybe a couple more. I know Linny and Crystal's got one, so.
I'd just like to say a report on my mother. She's doing much better and she sold her house. So our prayers worked.
Okay, I'll just make it quick. Sure. Lately, God has been showing me that he really does care about the little details of our lives. Like, he really does care that like, he wants us to enjoy beauty. He wants us to just enjoy living. And the other day, I was driving down right by Grandview School, and I was just praising God in my heart, and all of a sudden, in front of me were two moose. A mother moose and with a yearling, and it was just like God was saying, "Look, I just wanted to show off my creatures for you today because I know you'd love it." Awesome. So anyway, that was just a little gift from God.
That's cool. Robin's got one more quick one. Can you make it quick?
I just want to share what God has been sharing with me personally. Be careful what you pray for. And when you do pray for it, be willing to do what he asks. Because I remember as a little girl praying, like, God, just use me. Like, whatever you have to do, just use me. Just get me out of where I am and just use me. Well, it's not until like 30, 40 years later when he's like, okay, yeah, now's your time. And I'm like, oh, crap. So just be really careful what you pray and really mean what you pray, because he will follow through with what you ask for eventually.
Pray for you? Lord, thank you for our pastor, and just thank you for the word of God that's going to come flowing out of his mouth. Lord, and I thank you for the testimony I heard yesterday, too, of the gentleman that was here, heard Pastor Stan preach, and he's not been the same since. And just something just clicked for the first time. In him, and he's sharing that with other people. So Lord, just use your servant as you will. Your will be done here in the rest of today's service. Be glorified, Lord.
Thanks.
Yep.
A little bit when you said, you know, someone is not the same since, because that could go all kinds of different directions. You know, I heard you speak, and oh, it's like, I've never been the same. Could be worse, but thank God. God's good. What amazing worship this morning, right? Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for the worship team. Yeah, you can give a big hand. Yeah. Woo. Hallelujah. We have been just enjoying this. We're in a season of rich worship, and in the last year or so, we've just seen some worship leaders rise up among us, and they're just leading, and they're showing, you know, the gifts that God has given to them. I'm just so grateful for that. I'm just really moved by that. Thank you, God. And all the things we're learning about worship and how vital, how important it is, and how it's warfare against the enemy. It just shuts the enemy's mouth. It's maybe one of the best ways that we have to resist him. We resist him through worship, and he flees from us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it's okay to clap. You guys did it last week for that other guy, you know, so. Woohoo! Yeah, let's give God praise. Sure, they come from Kenya, and then you cheer and say amen, right? That was good, too. He's such a brother in the Lord. I was so glad that Reverend William could be here. That's awesome. We're going to pray for Clayton. I got a text from your husband, Clayton, Nadine, just praying for prayer that we would pray for him this morning, and it's Corey and Colby, right? As they're coming from around Weyburn. So they're driving right now, and eventually they're going to be moving here. Nadine, who's sitting back there, you should get to know her. She's been coming to church here, and they're going to be coming as well. And they're moving from there. They're waiting for their house to sell. So a few of you, just put your hands on her. maybe Marg and Dawn, because you guys have known her for a long time. Just join me in prayer. Let's pray for this family that they're safe. God, thank you for worship. Thank you we can be here. Just fill us and invigorate us in the power of your Spirit. You are so good. Thank you, God. We just pray, Lord, for Nadine. We pray for Clayton, for Colby, and for Corey, that you will bring them safely to Red Deer, that that house will sell, that even right now as they're driving, you'll keep your hand on the wheel and that it'll be a safe trip, that as they bring a bunch of stuff again, that they won't be too tired, that you will give them everything that they need. And God, just we know that your hand is in this. We believe you for this. We look forward to getting to know these people and to see the gifts of the Spirit that you've given to them. And Lord, that you would contribute that to this body, we think is an amazing thing. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I think that we already heard that there's going to be a baptism. And yes, it's going to be in the river. And yes, that's crazy. So it's going to be cold. Yeah, it's going to be cold. But you know what? When someone says, I want to get baptized, I have a hard time saying, well, no, you'll need to wait till, or how about coming to my hot tub? You know, that just we're just not going to the hot tub today. We're going to go to the river. And I invite you to come. I know all of you can't come maybe, but we're going to do this quickly for all the obvious reasons, okay? So Roxy and Damien have asked to get baptized. They asked me a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, come on, come on, come on. And, you know, whenever anyone gives their life to Jesus, that's a reason to really praise God. That's a reason to just exalt him. And if it means that we go to the river at the end of October, we'll do that. You know, we're going to, because when we go to the river, what this is about, it's about watching all of our past go down the stream. And you need to know that today, that whatever you've done, however you've lived, whatever mistakes you've made, and believe me, we've all made mistakes, every single one of us, but it's all gone down the river. The Bible says in Romans that when we are in the river, we're buried with him. We're buried with him in baptism, and then we're raised with him to new life. And what he does is he gives you a brand new life. And I'm just asking you, based on the word of God today, that you just declare that you've repented and that you want a new beginning. That's all we're asking. That's all that Jesus ever asked. You want a new beginning, and the old is gone, he says, and the new has come. This is his time. Yeah, give him a big hand. So, come on, stand up, Roxy. And you guys can both stand up at the same time, but I wanted to give you guys an opportunity. I also want you to know you belong. You belong here. Right? You belong here. And we want to just put our arms around you. We want to love you. We want to help you. We want to be your family. We want you to know that you are loved and that the love of Jesus, just pray that it keeps flowing from us. And the other thing is that we need you. You're part of this not just because you tag along, but because we need you. You guys bring gifts. You guys know people that we don't know who need to be here. You know people who need to do exactly what's happened in your life. They need to turn to Jesus. They need to surrender. So I just want you to hear that today. And I'm going to bring a word for a bit, and then we're gonna go to the river, and we're going to do this thing. So Roxy, you're first, right? Just what's going on in your life? You go first then. You speak from the heart. It's okay.
Well, I just remember the first time hearing the word of the Lord. Roxanne ended up dragging me to a Bible study. And while she was a little too tired, she fell asleep. And as soon as I started hearing the word of the Lord, it was just came naturally. He just kept dragging me to his word.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I just been listening and following the word. And it just seemed like it was time to take the final step, as they say.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I'm good.
Okay, I'll just ask you a question. I'm just going to ask you. You believe in Jesus,
yes.
Right? And it's time, right? I know you. I've known you for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting words in your mouth when I say it's time for for a new Roxy, right? Don't want to live the old life no more? Roxanne. Okay, I'm going to start calling you by the right name then. Roxanne, it's time for a new Roxanne. You love Jesus and you're ready for this, right? Yeah. Amen. Okay, let's pray. So God, thank you for Roxanne and Damien. Thank you that we get the privilege of hearing their faith in you and that they've surrendered. They're giving it up, God. They are surrendering the old life, the old will. And Lord, as they are immersed in the river today, we just pray for the power of your Spirit to fill them, to encourage them, to empower them so that they can live the life that you call them to live. That the gifts that you give them, that they'll be willing to share them with this body. And that they'll know today that they belong to Jesus. They belong to Jesus. And that he loves them. He loves you guys. He loves you so much that he died for you. So much that he gave his life. So much that no matter what you've done, it's all forgiven and it's covered and it is no longer remembered. Thank you, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, give him a big hand. Okay, you can sit. That's exciting. That is exciting, and we look forward to this. So, opening the Word of God. Sure. Just going to open the Word of God, and then we're going to, as we conclude our service in about 45 minutes, we're going to walk down on the river. We're not going to take a lot of time, and then I'll drive you guys home because we're going to all be wet. We're going to, you know, but it's okay. There are worse things than doing this, and I even convinced my wife to go in the water with me, so you can't be... Yeah. If that's not being a trooper, I don't know what is. So God's leading me to this passage in 1 Kings 17, and it may be that I'm going to be on this for a week or two. So, you know, if you think I didn't get done with it, that's okay. It's a great story from the Old Testament about the prophet Elijah. And the context of this takes place when there's a great famine in the land. When God's people are really getting involved. The Israelites are getting involved in idolatry and disobedience. That's the two things that define them. They're just disobedient. They're chasing after all the other gods. They're doing everything they can but worship God. And we read this story about Elijah and about the widow from Zarephath. So we're going to read that in Elijah or in 1 Kings chapter 17, starting with verse 7. Just read it with me. I think it'll be on the screen. Okay, maybe not. Then just listen. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar that I may have a drink?" And as she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And I'm gathering a few sticks." Now get this. "I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day that the Lord gives rain on the land." And so she went away and did as Elijah had told her. And there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You say amen?
Amen.
Isn't that an encouraging passage? The jar of flour was not used up, the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word that God gave to Elijah. And it's really a word not just for the widow, but this was a word for all of Israel, that what was happening for her in sort of a small way was going to happen for all of Israel. He was going to provide for them. He was going to take care of them. And And for God to bring that message across to his people, he sends his prophet Elijah into the middle of where the idolatry, where the source of the idolatry was in Sidon, in Zarephath. So he sends Elijah the prophet into where the heart of Baal worship was taking place, and where that Baal worship was now infiltrating all the ranks of Israel. God sends his prophet into the heart of that place to work with this widow from Zarephath, so that this will be a sign for her, but also for all of Israel, that God is God, that he's in control, and that they need to worship him and him alone. And that's really important, and that's really the truth. It's a story here. It's a story that's endearing. It's a story that kind of grips our heart. It's a story about a single mom, about a widow who is in just dire straits. There is a famine. And there's a drought in the land. And you can kind of empathize with this woman as she's trying to raise her son. She's trying to provide food for her, for him. But there's nothing left. There's nothing left. There's been no rain for a long, long time, for months, maybe even years. There's been no rain. And so because there's been no rain, there's been no crop, and there's been no oil, there's been no food, there's been a famine, and there's been a drought in the land. And we're told, as it starts in this passage, that the brook has run dry. I don't know if you've ever had that in your life before, or maybe you felt that way before, that the brook has run dry. But that's how she was feeling. The brook had run dry. There was no oil, it says. There was no food. There was nothing to feed her children. And then we get this, you know, you can imagine, I don't know, we don't get her emotions in this too much, but if I'm her, I'm not too pleased with this prophet, right? He comes along, he says, hey, you want to get me some water? Yeah, I guess, right? And by the way, make me some bread too. Well, there is no bread. Like, what do you got? Are you kidding me? Right? I mean, can you imagine if you're this widow and you're trying to raise your son, and suddenly this so-called man of God comes along and he's demanding water and he's demanding bread, and he's just sitting there going, why don't you go get it for me? You go run. You go run. You go do this. What are you, you know, you got a piano tied to some part of your anatomy? Are you kidding me? But she does. She does exactly what he asks, even though she's careful to tell him that there's nothing left. There is no more oil, she says. I'm gathering sticks here. And she could, you can just see her, right? If you picture the story, she's got an armful of sticks. And she says, I've been gathering sticks here because we're going to make one more meal. We got just a little bit of oil left and a tiny bit of flour. We got enough for just one more English muffin that we're going to make. And then we're going to eat it. And then we're going to die. Wow. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before in your life, where the brook has run dry, or where there's no oil left on the dipstick, or where you're gathering sticks because you don't know what's going to happen next. But I know that, you know, for many of us, we've kind of been there before. Maybe not exactly in the same way as she was going through, but a lot of us have been at the end of ourselves. A lot of us have found ourselves in big trouble, or we've lost something incredibly difficult to lose, and we don't know how we're going to deal with it. We don't know how we're going to manage. And there's only a few drops of oil left. There's only a few drops of oil left in the jar. As a lot of us, I think, if you think about your life, you think about maybe some of the hardest things that you've gone through. Some of us here, you know, there are people here whose children have tried to take their own lives. That's a terribly hard thing. Some of them have succeeded. That's even harder. We've all lost. We've lost so much, right? We've been in this place before. Not that we maybe even acknowledged it at the time or even understood it at the time, but we've been in that place before where the brook has run dry. And here's the hard thing, is that when we have nothing left, right? We've got nothing left to give. All I've got is what's in this jar, and there's only a few drops left that God says, I want the jar too. I want the nothing. But God, I have nothing left to give. Well, give me the nothing, he says. What? Give me what's left in the jar. But there isn't anything left in the jar. Well, I want the nothing. And the reason why The reason why God says that, why he asks us for even the last little crumb, is because for God, this is always about faith. It's always about faith. And really, it's the only thing that God cares about in our relationship with him is that we have faith in him. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Right? And how many times didn't Jesus teach faith and say, oh, if you only had a little faith, just the faith of a mustard seed, you could do great things. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. It's all about the relationship we have with him and our trust and our belief in him. And it's when we give him the jar and there's only a drop left in it that he goes, now, I've got you exactly where I need you to be. Are you going to trust me? I know this seems desperate. I know it seems like there's no hope. It seems like this is the craziest thing to ever do, to give me the nothing that you have left. But now, are you going to trust me? Will you believe me? Will you believe that I'm going to take care of you? You're not in control anymore? Good. Good. Because I am. I am. Hallelujah. I am in control. Amen?
Amen.
Again, don't be afraid to say amen. I'm in control. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And I am your God. Do you think now, do you think that I'm going to keep my promises? Am I going to keep the promises I've made to you? Am I? And here's a teaching today that really struck me, and I believe this is the Holy Spirit has just communicated God's word to my heart. When he said this, he said, you know, we never know what our faith really is. We don't know the character of our faith or the nature of our faith or the depth of our faith until there's no oil left in the jar. It's only when we go through the crises and the struggles and the brokenness and the hard things that our faith is proven to be true. And all we've got left is God. If everything in your life is going well, you got lots of money in the bank, you got your RRSPs, you got, you know, a great job, your family is wonderful, all your kids are completely obedient, everything goes wonderful in your life, you know what? You'll never know what kind of faith you really have. You can't inherit faith. You don't get faith from your believing mom and dad. Faith has to come from inside of you. It's your own personal relationship. It's your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But you'll never know what your faith is like unless you go through these hard times. Unless you find somewhere along the line, and you will, by the way, unless somewhere along the line your brook dries up, you won't know what your faith is really like. And so the emptiness in the jar has to do with the kind of faith that we really have. And my belief is that there's a lot of people who really don't know what kind of faith they have. They say they have faith. They've taken courses on faith. They've taken seminars and workshops on faith, and they've read about it a lot. And they think they have a lot of faith, but until it's tested, until there's no oil left on the dipstick, you don't know what kind of faith you've really got. You don't. And I know that some of you are going, yeah, I get that. And I get it too. And Crystal, we get that. You know, we've been through that. You've been through it too. We go through hard things in our lives, and we hate going through those hard things. I don't know about you, but there's nothing I hate more than looking at that jar and seeing that there's nothing left in it. And being reduced to crying out to God for anything, everything, and to trust him. But because of those times in our lives, because of those times in my life, I know beyond any shadow of a doubt where my faith is. I do. I have learned because of the hard things. I've learned because of the rejection and because of the mistakes, because of whatever's gone on that is so difficult in my life. This is true for all of us. I've learned where my faith is found. And I've learned this. I've learned that God has always been there for me. Even when no one else was, God was always faithful. And that I'm no longer a slave to fear. That I am a child of God. Amen. Right? But we don't learn that until our brook is dry. And I don't know what that means for you, but I think you do. You know what you've struggled with. You know what the hard things, you know, you've gone through. I think about you, Gertie. I hope you don't mind me sharing that. But I remember you sharing the story of your young son. And I think he said he was like 10 or 11. And on the way home, he passed away because he had such a bad lung problem, right? Man. Man, oh man, oh man. That's a dry brook. That is a dry brook. Yeah. And that's true. You know, I know your stories. I know some of them. I know the struggles. I know what addiction has done for a lot of you, how it's robbed you, what you've lost because of it. And that's a dry brook. Yeah. But you can come through. Thank you, Jesus. Lynn's just, she's itching for the punchline, right? We don't need to live there. We don't need to stay there. You don't need to camp there. We can come through. And really, that's really where I'm going with this, is that, yes, understand this. I know my faith. I know my Redeemer lives. That my faith is in Jesus Christ and that he has never let me down. His promises have always been yes and amen, and that he continues to hold me in his arms. Amen? And now we get to what you were saying, but the good thing is that when you recognize this and you come to this point in your life, you go, I have faith. I know what kind of faith I have. I know that it's the depth of it. I know that I've had to trust God through the storms. I've had to. And that he's been there for me. Here's what happens. It's when you get to that point that then you begin to see the power of God. Yeah? We do not really see the power of God until we have faith in God. We think that we can, but that's not true. We need to believe. We need to have faith. Is a gift of God. But as he gives us that gift, and as we allow it to move and to grow in our lives, then he's able to show us how powerful he is. And he says to us, you know, I know how broken you are. I know that you've got nothing, and I've asked for that nothing even. But now I'm going to replace it. I'm going to show you the power I have. I'm going to give you what you couldn't even begin to believe I was going to give you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to let the oil start to pour out into your life. Amen? But that comes by faith. It's when we put our faith in Jesus, we put our faith in our redeeming God, that he says, now let me show you my power. Now you know who I am. Now let me show you how I'm going to take care of you. And where you think that my blessings have trickled to just a drop and then another drop, and you think that it's time to gather sticks and build a fire and make a last meal, let me show you. Let me show you how I can open up the windows of heaven. And I can pour out the fire extinguisher hose of my blessings. I'm going to bless you. I am going to replace what was stolen from you. I am going to give you everything that my heart wants for you. Amen? Amen. And that's what a great and amazing God he is. And so when we're going through these hard things in our lives, and maybe today you're going, yeah, my brook is dry. I'm sick of this, right? I'm tired of what's going on in my life. I'm tired of the dryness. The word of God really says is that when we're going through it, we should rejoice. Amen. And here's the word of the Lord today, rejoice. You're going through something really difficult. You're being persecuted maybe, or you're thinking today of what you've lost. Maybe you had dreams for your life. And you thought, well, I got education and I did this, and I thought by the time I hit 30, this would be happening. And none of that's happened. I understand that. But rejoice. Be glad in the Lord, because this is how he shows himself. This is how you'll know that your faith is real. This is how you know that you really believe and that he has really got a hold of you. James, I don't know if you've got that, Tim, but in James chapter 1, do you have that? James chapter 1, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter. James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You say amen? consider it pure joy. You know, I don't know how else to interpret that, but you know, but by doing this, by going, God, my life is just so dry, like I'm in a drought here. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Oh, you, thank you, God. All I got is you now. Everything else has been stripped away. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Right? Pure joy. Pure joy. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Consider it pure joy. Rejoice when you're being persecuted. Don't complain. Don't be bitter. Rejoice and be thankful to God, because now you're in a place where he can finally show you what is the very depth and the nature of your faith. And he will. Peter, in Peter 1, he says this. Peter 1, that these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise and honor and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen. What he means by the these, he's talking about the suffering. He says, though a little while from now, you're going to have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. But these have come so that your faith can be proved genuine. Isn't that good? It's how our faith is proved genuine. It needs to be refined, right? It needs to be refined. He needs to prove it to be authentic. That at the end of it all, we stand before his throne and we say, Lord, I have no one but you. I have no one who can care for me. No one who's going to provide for me. Show me your power, God. I believe that you are who you say you are. Show me your power. Show me that you care for me still. Show me that you love me. Show me that you're going to provide for my son. Don't let him die. Lord, let the oil pour out. Amen. And we read this. Be encouraged by this. Be encouraged. We read this. That she went away. And she did as Elijah told her. And there was food every day for Elijah. Did you hear that? There was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. I think that means her broader family. There's a lot of people who are blessed by this and by her obedience and by her faith and by her willingness to say, okay, I'm going to use the little bit of oil I got left. I'm going to make this prophet a little bit of bread here. Because of her faith and her faithfulness, the jar of flour, it says, was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord. Amen? God is your provider. Trust him. Amen? I've learned that as much as I hate the difficult things, as much as I hate persecution, I don't like hard things, I don't like the dry brook when it's come in my life, and sometimes it's come by me. Sometimes it's come by other reasons or other purposes. I don't like that dryness. But what I have learned is that in the storm and in the fire, my God has always, always been there. He's always held me in his arms. He's always forgiven me and restored me, always. And my faith is not the same as it was before. You'll never be able to convince me otherwise. You'll never, for the rest of my life, you'll never be able to sit me down and say, well, God doesn't care, or he wasn't there for you, or his promises aren't real. You'll never, 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 never be able to convince me, because I have lived through this. I have lived through this, and I have been the recipient of his goodness. I have. So you can't convince me otherwise. Amen. You can't. Even when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, right? But we have to go through that sometimes. He doesn't say, guess what? You just give your life to Jesus, you'll never need to go through the valley. That's not true. You're going to need to go through the valley. But here's the good news. When you go through the valley, he is with you. He says it. And he has been. Amen? Woo-hoo! And his rod and his staff, they have comforted me. But I had to go through the valley. Right? And he's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. They're watching me eat this good meal, this banquet. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies because I went through the valley. And because he held my hand through the valley. And he anoints my head with oil. Yeah. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Because that's who my God is. And because he led me through the valley. So if you're going through the valley today and your brook is dry and you're looking at your jar and you're going, man, there's nothing left in this. I can't do this anymore. I have one word for you. Rejoice. Rejoice. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's when, here's what it is. It's when I finally take that jar and I look at the bottom and there's nothing in it, I'm seeing Jesus. It's all that's left. The only thing left is Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace. And honestly, this is not a new teaching, not a new story. The Bible is full of people like you and me whose brook ran dry. Think of Joseph. Joseph in prison. He just, you know, years back told the cupbearer about his dream. And the cupbearer said, well, I'll go tell Pharaoh and he'll get you out of prison. And he's still sitting in prison. He's been forgotten. Right? It's that despair. It's that loneliness. It's that darkness. Before he's finally delivered and restored to be the second in power of all of Egypt. Isn't that great? Or think of Abraham. God says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Think of Abraham. And he's hitting 96. And then he's hitting 97. And God says, no, you're going to have a baby. Yeah, I'm 98 now. Right? Like, this is not getting any more likely, God. This is getting less likely. I don't know if you understand. I mean, I guess you do, because you know all about creation. But, I mean, to have a baby when I'm 99 and my wrinkled old wife is 90, you know, this doesn't happen too much. And God says, just trust me. Right? But it's just that dryness, literally, that dryness, and that you're wrinkled and your brook is dry. Don't read into that too much. But you know, it's that suddenly a baby, little Isaac, is conceived, and there's life that's born, and there's joy, and there is a real understanding that God is still God and he keeps his promises. Amen. He keeps his promises. Amen. He keeps his promises. And even for Job, and I could give you a dozen. We could talk about Daniel. We could talk about Noah. But even Job, where everything goes wrong in Job's life. And maybe you're going, man, that's how I feel today. My family's a mess. My health is a mess. My job is gone. I have no money. I got sores. Well, that's Job. That's Job. And his brook is dry, and there's no oil in the jar, I can tell you. But he's sitting on the road. And his friends, he's lost his friends. He's sitting on his road. His wife has told him to just curse God and be done with this. But he's sitting on the road, and Job says, I know, man, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Lift him up. Lift him up. Hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer lives. And even if he slays me, I will thus praise the Lord. Amen? So you need to be willing. We need to have the faith to believe in God through the hard things. And you're not the only one struggling with something hard. You're not the only one who feels dryness. But the message is this. It's drought. It's the drought that draws us to Jesus. It really is. One more example. Just think of the disciples. Think of the disciples Friday night when Jesus has died on the cross and that how awful that weekend was for them. One of their best friends had taken his life, Judas. They were all scattered. They let Jesus down. They disowned him. They betrayed him, and their lives were in danger. They were wanted now. They were scattered all over the place, hiding in who knows what corner or under what bush on that Saturday night, right? Hiding, wondering what's going to happen. Totally distraught, lonely. All there was darkness. Disillusioned because their Lord was dead. But it was out of that darkness of the Saturday night that the Sunday morning happened. And Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he said, "Peace, be still. My peace I give you. I'm alive." I'm alive, he said, right? So it's all the same message. That's what I'm trying to say. It's all the same message. Your brook is dry. Well, get used to it. We're all there. We've all had that before. And it's used by God. This is used by God to draw you into a deeper faith. But know this. Your King is alive. My Jesus lives. My Jesus lives. And because he lives, because my Redeemer lives, I can face tomorrow. That's better than what I was going to say, so thanks. Right? Because he lives, I can go in the water. And it might be cold, and it might be a morning that you're not going to forget for a long time. Well, praise God for that. But this is an act of faith. Let's not make any mistake about this. People don't go in the water at the end of October for any old reason. You need to have a good reason. This is an act of faith, and we stand with you. Some of us will be standing with you actually in the water. Right? But that's an act of faith. It's saying to God, no matter what, I am yours. I surrender myself to you. I'm yours. I want to get baptized. I want to know that I belong to you. I want to be washed in that really, really cold water. I want to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And I want to know that from now on, I am following my risen King. Amen? Give him a big hand. Say hallelujah. And so here's where we go from here. We're going to pray. There's a possibility that there's someone else here today. You're going, I need to get in that river too. And then you're going, I must be crazy. That's okay, you can think that. You are welcome to join us. We're going to be baptizing two. We might as well be baptizing three or four. It's okay. I want to just give you that invitation that if today you hear that Jesus is calling and saying it's time, I want you to be washed. I want you to surrender. That his arms are open. And you are welcome to be a part of this as well. Always. Yes. Just like you did, Carter. Amen. That's good. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Margaret, maybe you could come up and we could do that. Here I am to worship song one more time, okay? So let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that we see. You're such a powerful God. That oil just keeps pouring out, even when it looks like there's no way that's going to happen. That the jar of flour was never ran out, and the basket of oil was never done. And we acknowledge today, and we say it out loud, that that's the kind of God you are. You've always provided. Even when we went through the valley of the shadow of death, we found out there that you were with us. And we just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are our God. And we believe today with Roxanne and Damien, we thank you, God. We believe with them that as they put faith in you, that they are washed of their past and of their sins and of their guilt and of their shame, and that they are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that because it's what your word teaches us. Thank you, God. Lord, I also want to just pray for anyone who's here this morning who really feels that in their lives the brook has dried up. that there's just dryness, that there's drought. If there's someone like that right now, just stand up. I want to pray for you. I just feel led to do that. You're feeling like it's really dry. Just stand up. Thank you. If there's the people around you, you can just put your hand on them. God, we just want to pray for our brothers and sisters who make this stand today. Feeling dry. We're feeling like we need to gather sticks and that it's time for the last meal, but it isn't. As Margaret said earlier, you are the God of all hope. So we're believing that right now too. You are the God of all hope. And we pray for each one who's made this stand. You are the God of hope. We pray that you would inject, you would instill that hope, the hope of Jesus, back into these men and women. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you set us free from pornography. Thank you that you set us free from despair and darkness. There's a few of us standing who are just tired. We're really tired right now. So I pray, God, for you to bring life through the breath of the Holy Spirit right now. Through the breath of the Holy Spirit. Just breathe life. Breathe hope. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. Hallelujah. Just remain praying. We're going to sing this song, but I just want to make one, there's one thing I didn't say that I wanted to say before we do that. And I think this is important. That it's really important that when we're going through that period of dryness in our lives, that we don't look at the circumstances that we're in. We need to look at God in the circumstance. And sometimes our weakness, sometimes our tendency is we just look at what's broken. You got problems in your marriage, that's what you're looking at. Instead of looking at God in the problems in your marriage. Amen? You're looking at the addiction that you have and you feel beat up and you feel like you're never going to win. But we stare ourselves blind looking at our circumstance. And what God is saying to us today is stop looking at the circumstance and start looking at God. Look at me in the circumstance. And the brook will start to flow again. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this song together.
Together, lovely. that you're our God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.